I'm sure everyone's seen the Simpsons episode.
So, Mr. Burns, there's a Homer J. Simpson is to you, sir.
Simpson, A, release the hound.
I'll tell you one of my favorite guys on there is, Mr. Simpson, I'm afraid you've only got 24 hours left to live. Well, actually, 22. Sorry, I kept you waiting.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
Okay, so Mike, you have been prolific with product creation and you also do webinars. So I think it would be a great discussion if we just talk about some of the elements involved for the internet marketer who wants to start creating their own products, because there's so many different things you can do online. We know about selling services to local businesses. We know about affiliate marketing. But I know when I look back at my own affiliate marketing success, a lot of it had to do with creating my own bonuses and products. And it's such a powerful advantage. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So welcome to the discussion.
Thanks. It's always good to be here, man. Appreciate it.
Give our listeners a little background as to how you got to the stage you're at now and what sort of things you've done, to give us a bit of context as to what we're qualified to talk about here.
Sure. Well, here's the thing, James, is when I first got started with internet marketing, I started doing web design and SEO for smaller businesses, and in the process was introduced to internet marketing. And in all honesty, I really struggled when I first got started with whole information overload. And I learned pretty quickly, you know, you have to have your own product if you want to be able to build a list, if you want to have affiliates, all those things that were, you know, where the money is, so to speak. And so what I did was I would make about 90% of a product and then I go, oh, you know what? I needed a product about this too and a product about that. And I really had a hard time finishing my products. And I had about 25 products and two of them were done. And the ones that were done, people were buying, they were happy, and the rest of them were not done. And you can guess how much money I made on those ones that weren't finished, right? And
I have so been in that situation. I just was actually looking at some of my old files today, as it turns out, and I found this sheet from 2007 for my internet marketing blog, and it had their opt-in value series of education and stuff. And you know, I was really good at mapping out ideas. Mm-hmm. I had all this opportunity in inverted commas, and I went on so many partial product creations. It was very frustrating, but you're right. You make zero out of the product that you never get to market. So what do you think the big lesson there is for people listening to this?
Well, you know, I got to give credit to my buddy Jason Flatt, because I was listening to one of his webinars and Jason struggled with one of the same things. And the way he put it was really kind of elementary. He'd say, you know, I'd sit down, I'd start on a product, and then I'd take a break and it wouldn't get done. So the next day or next week, I'd sit down and start on a product and take a break, and then it wouldn't get done. So after this happened a few times, what do you think I figured out? And everybody typed in, you know, don't take a break. And so I adopted that philosophy. And, you know, sometimes there's bigger projects where you can't necessarily do it all in one sitting, but if it's a video series, whether it's on list building or traffic generation or blogging or whatever, it shouldn't take you more than at the most a couple of hours. What the big difference was I would sit down and I would write down just on like notepad what I want to talk about. And my outline for my products are always an intro and a conclusion, and then in between the actual how-to steps. And I'm a firm believer in keeping the videos real short and one topic per video. So if maybe it's how to install a blog or how to create a header graphic or something like that, so that they can be really succinct and to the point, and like we're talking like 2 to 5 minutes each. So that was a big stepping point for me.
I really want to lock in that point. 2 to 5 minutes each is such a critical thing. And there's been a lot of discussion about this in one of the communities that I run called Fast Web Formula, where I used to load up the products in 45 minute or 60 minute chunks, which would be a 90 minute webinar cut down, you know, top and tailed and cleaned out and edited out all of my ums and ahs and make me sound amazing. Now, then I started chopping them into chapters. What I would do is build the slide deck by topic. I would have a similar to you, an intro and an outro or conclusion. You know, that one about tell them what you're going to tell them and then tell them what you told them and all that sort of stuff. And in the middle, I went a little bit more depth there using the format principle, which is the why, what, how, what if principle, telling them why they need to know this, what it is, how to do it, and then cover all the objections. So I put them into these little segments, and some people said, oh, you know, I just want to watch it all in one hit on Apple TV. And I thought, I'm going to go and look at my heat maps, and I'm going to do the numbers on this. And the statistics that I pulled were absolutely clear that the small bite-sized modules were getting viewed more. More people made it all the way through the entire course in small pieces than sitting through one session. The stick rate for 2 to 5 minutes, or 12 is my maximum, by the way, that's the number I work with, is over 85% retention. So more than 85% of people will watch a 10-minute video. As soon as you start going out to 25, 30, 60, or 90, you start dropping down to 25% or 15% because life gets in the way. Someone interrupts, or the TV show starts, or they got to drop their kids to school. And what I took was the total number of people who started watching the first video and then followed them all the way through the little sausage machine using Wistia's heat mapping. And the total at the end was about twice as many people made it all the way through to the end. I think it was about half made it all the way through to the end instead of 25% from a 60-minute video. So first tip is small batch sizes. And how much easier is it to create a small video than a large one?
It's a piece of cake. And there's other advantages too. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all the results that you got from testing that. But, you know, when you look at from the internet marketing world, as far as like selling your product or talking about the features or benefits, it helps you also get crystal clear on what you're going to teach. If you, for instance, like when you make bullets on a sales page, you say, here's what you're going to discover. You never say, here's what you're going to learn, right? And so you might say, you know, how to, for instance, set up a blog, how to create a page, how to create a post, how to add an image, how to put a video on your page. So what you're doing is you're writing your sales copy, but you're also writing your outline for making those videos. And when people come back to it a week later, a month later, whatever, and they go, I forgot how to add a video. They don't have to sit down and listen to a 45-minute thing, which may be great content, but they're like, I just need to know how to add the video. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and I'm glad you highlighted discover, because it's much more exciting to discover something than it is to learn something. And how-to is a no-brainer. You'll notice a lot of the podcasts I do and videos that I put up a how-to, because that educational content will get a lot more eyeballs, a lot more people are interested in that. Do you have a course planning structure, or is it as simple as the introduction and the conclusion and then fill it in the middle?
Well, you know, when I first was telling kind of my background, I had about 25 products. Now I've got over 100, so, well, close to 100. I actually haven't kept track of it recently, but I don't really have to think about it much at this point, because so much of it is just kind of automated. Now it's more broken down into, you know, my videos, the number of videos that I do is normally between 7 and 10. There's always an intro and a conclusion. The intro is what this is, why you need it, what to expect, what, you know, not to expect, that kind of thing. And then, you know, I'm very much a let's cut to the chase and forget the fluff and just show you how it's done. I'm a big fan of using Camtasia or Jing or whatever you're going to use for your software and showing people clearly how to do it. Because sometimes if you've done something a lot, you'll forget to say, oh, you have to click on this before you get to this, but people can see you do it. So if they're doing it along with you with video, it's like being there. So I think that's the big element as far as making the actual product. And then I also always try and have some kind of a bonus that they don't know about, just so that they're overly happy with what I've done and have it be relevant. And, you know, one of the big advantages that's related to that as far as making your own product is when you make your own bonuses too, is they can't get it anywhere else. So, you know, when you say in your sales copy or whatever, and there's a surprise bonus valued at $97 that shows you how to do blank, it's true and it gets people excited and it gets people curious. And when they actually see the product and the bonus, they're that much happier that they bought.
I love it. So your main tools of trade then, the computer and some sort of screen capture video.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of them out there. And if people are on a shoestring budget, you can get Jing, which is actually made by the same company that makes Camtasia. And they're actually going to be stopping Jing, and they're just going to be doing a different piece of software called Snagit, which is both of those are excellent, really nice quality. Or you can just take the plunge and get Camtasia, which if you're on a PC, it's $300. If you're on a Mac, it's $100, which is everybody should be on a Mac.
And I'm going to put in a vote for ScreenFlow here. I really dislike Camtasia on the Mac. It was very buggy and problematic for me, and I'm sure it's fantastic now, but ScreenFlow is cheaper and a really great editing tool as well as a screen capture. So I predominantly use that for all of my video and audio, just the one editing tool. So that's another alternative.
Right. Yeah, I do have both of those. And there's some others too, like for instance, Screener, which is ScreenR.com, is a online web capture tool. So like if you're out and about, you don't have your computer, you don't have your software, and you get an idea, you can just go on there and log in through Facebook or Twitter and record videos for up to 5 minutes and then upload it to YouTube or to Facebook or download it or email to somebody, and it's for free. So, and I actually like the 5 minute limit because it keeps you focused on keeping your videos short.
Yeah, I'd say keep your videos short. Everything I've learned about video is short, gets retention. Also, when it comes to the type of products that you can create, you've got your screen capture type products. Another way to do a really good screen capture product is to build out a PowerPoint or a Keynote slide deck and pre-populate it with all of the things you want to illustrate, including all little arrows and circles and highlights, and if you need to, and it's not necessary, transitions. That will really cut down the amount of editing time you have if you can pre-prepare a PowerPoint or a Keynote, drag all your images and screenshots, especially Snagit images. I love the little tearaway effects and the drop shadows. But I use Keynote as my Snagit. Keynote does all of those things. And then you can just flick on the screen capture, and using two screens and presenter's notes, you can authoritatively talk through each of the slides and then hit stop and just trim the start and the finish, put in a little video bumper or something nice and professional, and there's your product. And that's how I made Traffic Grab, which was a good solid six-figure product. Mm-hmm. And I went out to several thousand people. And I also use that to make the majority of my information products. Quite often I'll take a webinar and then record that and then chop it up into little pieces with title slides and make it into a full-blown product. And I'm averaging about one a month as a run rate, and that will typically be 7 to 10 modules. And if you've got 100 products, you must be popping them out like crazy.
Well, I was we talked the other day about the webinars. I used to have a weekly webinar show, and so what I would do is literally every week I'd make a product, and I've learned a bunch of different ways to do that. Sometimes you can start out with the actual product done and kind of talk about one of the strategies or two of the strategies, and then say, if you like this, I've got, you know, 10 more or whatever. Or what you can do is you can tell people before the webinar, like as it starts, listen, tonight I'm going to be creating a product and you're going to get just pure content for free being on the call. And at the end, if you'd like to buy the replay, I'll make it a special price for you, you know, for being live on the call. And then you literally have this built-in accountability to put out a great product with great content. And because they're listening and they're typing in questions, you know if you're missing something or you need to emphasize something more. So it ends up being a better product. And then what you do is at the end you say, great, so first I'm going to sell this for X number of dollars, and I told you I'd give you a great price, so here's the discount. Plus, I'm also going to include this bonus or this bonus that I didn't show you tonight. So it's a double whammy, and it's a great way to get paid to make a product.
Fantastic. Well, I think we should talk about monetization models in a second, so we'll come back to that. By the way, that is an open loop, sure, which is very effective to use within products to have people stick to the end to assist their learning, or an open nested loop where you open up something they'll get later and then commence with the training part. And I'm a big believer in actually delivering good value so that people can get a result from the training. It's not just because they want to pay me that they've turned up. It's because they want to learn something or achieve a result after the training that they couldn't do beforehand. And that's always a good thing to focus on in the introduction. And it's a great thing to recap at the end is some action steps. Let's talk about for a minute there about the – I just want to recap on this framework or structure for a presentation. So someone's sitting there, they've got a blank whiteboard or a piece of paper, and they're listening to this, thinking about making a product. They now have an awareness that it's possible to make a product every week, mm-hmm. And frankly, they could probably make one every day if they were super prolific. And you and I have both knocked out products within hours, so it's totally possible. It mightn't be the world's greatest product, but it'll be to the point, a series of little videos, and it'll be neat. So knowing that they're able to do this, we've talked about a framework of having an introduction and a conclusion and then filling in the middle. And it could be that simple. They could simply write the topic at the top, introduce the topic, and cover the why, the what, the how, and then cover off objections, and then conclude it with a summary and an action list. And they could do that for each video module, bundle those modules together, and there is a product. So someone listening to this is only one weekend in a motel with a laptop away from having their own product. Agreed?
Absolutely.
Now, the wide then deep model, I just want to go a little bit into this. And this is really effective if you sell from stage or if you're putting together a webinar, if you're at that sales part where there's more products that they can buy at the end. That's where if you say had 6 or 7 points you wanted to make, a typical mistake, and I used to make this, is you cover each point, you know, say 10 or 20%, you cover that 20% of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 evenly across the board. That's wide. But what I recommend people do is go very, very deep in at least one of the points. So maybe on a couple of the points, just go 10% deep, and then one of them go 100% deep and show them everything you've got with that one point so that they get a feel for not just your range, but your depth, and they know how specialized you are on this particular topic. And that creates an awareness of the gap there, that the other 80% they're missing out on all the other points is really desirable now and something they would be really interested in paying for the next level of solution for.
I agree 100%. And I also want to emphasize that one area that you do go down, you know, 100%, that should be, in my opinion, the most exciting part or element of your topic. You know what I mean? So it's just like a performer saying, you know, here's my record. What song are they going to play on the radio? The best song.
Exactly. It's my son was playing with his band recently, and I suggested he lead with just the killer track, just to stun people in their tracks rather than warm them up, because people dull by the time they get to the good song.
Yeah.
Let's talk about having your own products versus using other people's products. So I know there's a phrase, PLR, and a lot of internet marketers would be familiar with this phrase, standing for private label rights or some kind of licensing deal. Would you be able to just develop this and give me your attitudes around this?
Sure. Well, first, private label rights is where basically you can do whatever you want with it. You can give it away. You can sell it. You can say it's yours. You can chop it up. You can add to it, take away from it. And it can be great. And it's a great concept. The challenge is that about 50% of the PLR that's out there is total garbage or rubbish, as you would put it. You know, about 30%, 40% of it is okay. And only about 10% of it is really good quality stuff. And so what I tend to do is, if I'm going to use PLR, is first of all, you have to make it better. You know, even if somebody puts out some great quality stuff, you want to change the graphics, you want to change the sales page, change the presentation, you want to go through the actual products, make sure they're good quality, and add something to it like a bonus. I like to actually sell PLR or create PLR because I think it frees people up to get over the excuse of not having a product of their own.
That is, I want to jump in there on that point, because as you're saying this, I'm thinking the last time I bought a license to use something was some WordPress training videos put out by a company called WP101. Mm-hmm. And we have a web development company, and we give every single person who buys a website access to a free WordPress training membership. And in there are these updated videos. And every time WordPress does a major update, they send over the new ones and we just load them up. And I didn't have to sit down and create a thing, but automatically I've paid a license fee to be able to treat this as my own product, house it on my own website, and to use the value of it as if I made them myself. And I don't even have to tell people where it came from, because I paid for the level of license that allows me to not have to carry their logo or banner. And it's a high quality offer. So there are many cases where you shouldn't create a product. Mm-hmm. And then there are some cases where you absolutely should.
Right. I agree 100%. So there's a lot of different tutorials out there on kind of basics of that. And actually, you and I talked a little bit before we started recording. In the spirit of proving that I know what I'm talking about, or that, you know, this isn't just guesswork that we're talking about, what I did was I had to make some videos for a client that I made a WordPress blog for. I told them I'd make some tutorials so that they could make changes and stuff like that. So what I did was I made them a little bit more generic, where I didn't say, you know, whatever, this is Mike from MikeCowles.com. Make sure you visit my site afterwards if you like this. I didn't do any of that. I just said, here's how to create a WordPress page, or here's how to create a WordPress post. And I made those 7 videos today, and it took me about 40 minutes, I think. And then I put them together. I uploaded them all to YouTube, and I just put together all those in a report so that anybody that's listening to this could actually download it and keep them and use them themselves, either as private label rights or to give to a client that, you know, they did a blog for, that kind of thing, just like what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, and I paid hundreds of dollars for the rights for this, so that's very generous. What I'll do is I'll put a link to that in the show notes, which will be on superfastbusiness.com, right where you hear this episode, and you'll be able to see what Mike can put together in 40 minutes. And this is not some kind of affiliate link, and there's no opt-in. This is just a gift from Mike, which is tremendous. Yep. All right, so we're going well. We've discovered there's a way that you can format these products. We've talked about some of the tools you might use to do it. We have given some context as to how prolific you might be. We've even talked about some of the ways that you might sell them. But I am curious, you've got all these products. How do you actually go about selling them? Do you have a site for each? Do you put them into one place?
You know, I've done both. And initially, when I would make a product, I would get the domain first, and I would look to see, like, I have, for instance, howtoputvideosonline.com. I have howtosellvideosonline, pdfblueprint.com. I have a bunch of different domains like that. And that there's pros and there's cons to doing each one of those. For me, my challenge has been in the past is being too much of a perfectionist, because if I have a full domain, then I have to make a sales page and everything else. So if somebody's listening to this saying, well, I don't have a product and I just want to get started, do I need to get a domain for every single product idea I have? I would say no. I would do what James teaches in On the Race Course, and I would have a blog. And if your name is John Smith, I would have johnsmith.com/WordPress, and that be your section on WordPress, and johnsmith.com/traffic, and have that be your section on traffic. So that's how I would do it now. And that's what I'm doing more with my site and where I'm heading versus doing the individual sales page.
Yeah. And I think this is the trend. And as we watch sites like AppSumo and Udemy and Lynda get massive traction in the market, it's one portal where there's different courses, and also Mindvalley, I think, do this as well. What I'm doing is starting to roll up a lot of my front-end websites where I would have had the individual domain and a product for sale by itself with affiliates. I've switched off my affiliate program. I've turned off the payment option on my products, and I've brought these products back into my membership. And if people want my products, they just go and join the membership and they can get all my products in there. So it's become like a library or a university online, and they're also getting that coaching assistance from me. They can still get the individual products through sort of little loopholes like buywithbonus.com as individual bonuses. And in some cases, I'm actually going to pick a couple of my best products and I'm going to give them away the same way that I gave away the first 2 hours of Traffic Grab, because that brought a massive amount of traffic to my site. And I think once you get more established and a deeper library of products, what we're going to see is a lower cost of products. With the proliferation of Kindles, for just a few dollars, you can go and buy business books, you know, $7 or $8 or $9, you can buy legitimate business books on Amazon. I think these $2,000 products are on thin ice, and with $1,000 commissions, it's just pure inefficiency, as Dan Andrews from Lifestyle Business Podcast would say, or greed, or a combination of both. But what I'm suggesting is that people like me are going to be putting out paid products for free as a lead up to the community places where they get pulled together. And as a simplification strategy, it's so much easier just to have one or two websites, like one website to do all of your blogging and podcasts and put interviews and free products. And that could lead to a paid community, which may even be on the same site /members, or it might be on a separate domain. But I think that's the way forward for prolific product creators like you and I. And perhaps people listening might be inspired by that. And the first product they should probably create is something nice that people could have if they opt into a newsletter list. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's a no-brainer, and I agree 100%. And the thing is if you have the right mindset, which is, you know, if you give enough and you help enough people, then it'll always come back to you. Maybe not specifically from that person, just like, you know, we had our last conversation. It always works out like that. I've actually, you know, since I've looked at some of your stuff and we've talked before, I started Mike's Academy about 2 months ago and put a bunch of products in there. And I shut down my affiliate program as well due to some of the same things you talked about, complaints of, you know, people doing credit card fraud and stuff like that. And I kept on thinking about, well, what's the best way to do this? Because I like the idea of an affiliate program as far as helping people that aren't necessarily product creators or don't want to create a lot of products so that they can promote something that's good quality. And one of the things I thought of was I liked what you're doing as far as putting all your products in there, but I also thought about having a kind of a reseller edge to it too. So maybe if your Academy is, for instance, $67, you could say, or for $197, you could get all these products and you can sell them and keep 100% of the profit or whatever percent you decide. But, you know, something where it's very generous and they've been tested to convert. I think that's another good idea. And I think that's a direction that that a lot of people will end up going if they have good quality products.
Yeah, well, I think what you're doing there is having two levels of recurring membership. I'm assuming it's recurring. I didn't actually ask.
Yeah, and that's the idea, because some people are just wanting the training and other people are like, okay, I've got enough training. I need to make some money. And instead of making a bunch of products, I could just promote his and keep 100% of the profit. It's kind of a no-brainer. Now they just have to focus on traffic.
Well, not having an affiliate program for me has allowed me to really be motivated by my community, because it's a little more profitable and I'm able to bring it to the market at such a fair price compared to what other people would charge if they have to send half that income back off to affiliates, that it's demotivating. And of course you have that fraud, but what it does do, it opens up you to go and offer value and appear on other people's podcasts and videos and stuff, and to spread your message and to share information that could be used without paying a cent. Someone can listen to this already and feel a little bit more confident that they could create a product. They could know what sort of product they would create and how they would go about doing it and how often. I want to just touch on a few more topics before I let you off the hook. And sure. That is offer creation. Like, what should we be making these products about? Like, where do we get the ideas? We might share some ideas on that. So that's one topic I want to cover. And then I also want to talk about, what about people who are nervous or scared? And, you know, how much of an expert do you need to be qualified to make a product? Because I recall when I put together my first super duper product, which was called the Excite Pro Cheat Sheet, or XSP Cheat Sheet, to avoid trademark violations. I was a bit worried when I put it out that people might accuse me of being a rank amateur and I shouldn't publish this junk. But I was shocked when I put it up as a WSO, which is a warrior special offer. And I was making $1,000 a day straight off the bat for the first week. And I was blown away by that. So let's talk about offer creation, like what sort of ideas and how we pitch it, and how qualified an expert do we need to be? And did Mike Cowles always have a radio voice?
Well, you know, we actually haven't talked about it, but I do impressions too. So a lot of times when I do my webinars with the guests, they always ask me to do those. So that's funny you mentioned the radio voice. But, you know, jumping back to what you're talking about as far as ideas, the big thing to start out with is ideas, is looking at your own frustrations. What are you struggling with? What would you wish they had a solution for? What do you wish that somebody could just, you know, solve this one problem and I would be happy? Then you probably buy it, and then look on the forums or, you know, the popular blogs and see if other people are sharing that same frustration. So whatever niche you're in, if you're in dog training, do a Google search for dog training site, dog training forum, dog training blog, that kind of thing, and just spend some time in there and look at what people are talking about. You could do searches for how do I, or how do you, or does anyone know? And those will be open-ended questions where, you know, people are frustrated and they're asking other people that know this topic for answers. And so what happens is, let's say you're in the dog training niche and you find out that the biggest complaints, you know, you could write down 20 of them, but, you know, the ones that are mentioned the most are, how do I get my dog to stop eating my shoe, or how to get him to sit, or not to go pee on the rug, or whatever it is. And you categorize it. What's the ones they're talking about the most? Great. Now I'm going to go to the ideal is if you already know the answer to do these, you're already competent in this, then you can just go. You can just start recording. If you don't know, then what you can do is there's an acronym I use, which is PRO, which is where you present, you research, and you organize. So present, research, and organize. And the way that it works is the initial thing you're doing is you're going to research. You're going to go on Google. You're going to type in how to get my dog to stop peeing on the rug. And you can type this in different questions, like how to get my dog, how to get a Doberman retriever, how to get my dog to stop peeing or stop urinating or going to the bathroom. You can put it in different ways and you'll find so much information that for sure, especially if you go to the videos where people spend the time to make a video on Google, on YouTube, then you'll find the answer normally within about 15 minutes, like the best answer, like good enough, that'll work. I'm confident 100% on that. And so now you've got your content, you've done your research and you've got the solution, but now you can put it in your own words. And again, you want to know your topic. And typically to know your topic better than 80% of the people, you have to read two books on it. So if you do that and you do this research the way that I'm telling you, now you've got your content. One other quick thing I did want to say real quick was you were talking about as far as getting started. And my first product was actually a software product, because I was kind of too shy to be the authority to get out there and talk. And so what I did was I hired a guy on scriptlance.com, which is now freelancer.com, to create an affiliate cloaking piece of software. I said, here's the idea. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what language. I can, you know, make a graphic of what I want it to look like, but you have to be able to make it to do this. And I think I paid around $50 to get it done. And that was my first product, which was Affiliate Link Magic. And I made a few $1,000s with that, which was really exciting. And then I said, you know what? I've been doing SEO for my clients. I should really just show how to do it because it doesn't take, you know, much time. So I created a product called 1 Hour Google. And that was similar to your first WSO, where I was making between $500 and $1,000 a day for a couple of weeks. And it was just so exciting, you know, to have it out there. And it was about 7 to 10 videos, something like that, just saying, here's what to focus on, here's what to avoid, and here's the results you'll get. And that was it.
So you've done your research. Was there another step?
Well, you know, as far as prioritizing it, you know, looking at what people are complaining about the most and what people are excited about the most as part of it. And, you know, when I put together my products, one of the things that I think is really valuable to people and it actually gives a perceived value as well is I would record the video and then I would strip the audio from it as well. So now they have, you know, as far as like graphics or showing what they're going to get, you can have a DVD case or a pile of DVDs saying you're going to get these 7 videos. And then you're also going to get the audio version of these so you can listen to them while you're driving or working out or whatever. And then you can also get that transcribed, whether it's your VA or somebody on Fiverr.com, which if you don't know what Fiverr is, it's Fiverr.com, and you can hire people to do just about anything. So people on Fiverr will transcribe. A lot of times they'll do like 15 minutes worth of audio for $5. So if you have an hour's worth of content, you're talking $20 to have all of it transcribed. And so now you've got your video series, your audio series, and your transcription, which you can put in a PDF. And then you can also make a quick start guide and have that be like a PDF as well. So you can say, here's your checklist or your action steps. And a quick tip, kind of going back to creating the product, is if you start with that checklist, that action steps, then that's really what's going to be your guide or your script or whatever for creating the videos. So if you start with that.
And you can literally put that in the sales copy, can't
yep.
you? By the end of this short training series, you'll be able to action step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah. And you can also, you know, in the sales copy, it's one of the things I've noticed is like there's guys that are fantastic writers, whether it's John Carlton or whoever. But when it comes to these types of information products where it's really one problem, one solution oriented, you really don't have to have much as far as sales copy. The formula that I use is the offer, the proof, and the scarcity. And if the offer is buy this Ferrari for $100 and it's in mint condition and it's not stolen, you could be a terrible salesman and you'll sell them all day long.
Tough sale. So that's interesting. You know, one of the things I've taken is a very low pressure sales approach. And quite often I'll take the first video from my training series, load it up to YouTube. It'll be 12 minutes long and it will be the outline of the training course. It'll be mostly the why and the what part of the training. It'll be, this is why you need to know this thing. This is what it is. And in the following videos, we're going to go through how to do this, and we will then cover off all the questions that we get asked. And that's usually the intro module, and I load that up to YouTube and stick that on the sales page. And that has been converting quite well at reasonable price points and also picking up sort of organic traffic. But it's sort of giving people the preview of the product, and I really have to credit sites like Amazon and Apple iTunes for this, because they let you preview what you're buying. It's like a demonstration. See what you're getting, the style of it, the tone of it, the information contained within the product. And this is what I put out on all my front-end sites, but I'll now bring them back to my master site. But they're up there on my YouTube channel, and it just gives people a window, and it really cuts down refunds as well, or refund requests. You don't have to offer triple money back guarantees if you're not doing blind selling. And blind selling is where you don't tell people anything about the product. You just sell the hopes and the dreams and the aspirations, and then you tell them after they buy the product that it was just one little secret magic trick, or that it's something a little bit unethical, which seems very common on some selling platforms. Speaking of that, I'll let you answer that, and then we'll talk about selling platforms as well.
Sure. What I was going to say real quick was, as far as the whole blind copy, I put out a product before that it was a really simple concept, but it was a good, powerful one. And if I had explained kind of how it worked, there'd be nothing to sell. So I sold that with blind copy, and I got more refunds on that because I think it was kind of like a magic trick for people. They wanted to know how to do it, and then once they realized they were going to have to work or practice or whatever, they didn't want to do that. Versus, you know, the other products where you say, this is what you're going to learn. I'm going to show you how to do B, C, D, E, F, and G, and we're going to walk through everything. You can watch over my shoulder. Then they know, okay, well, great. I'm going to have to, you know, either have software, or I'm going to have to talk, or I'm going to have to write or whatever to get those results. But, you know, they still want to know how they buy. If they don't want to do all that work, then they don't buy.
Well, I think what you experienced there was the phenomenon of curiosity, and it's so compelling. Yeah. Curiosity drives people. I mean, I was on a page the other day, and it was a $9.95 product. It was completely blind, and I was curious. But I knew that if I'd paid $10, I would have been disappointed. I would have gone, oh, I knew that. You know, why didn't they just say that in the beginning? So sometimes it's okay to accept a slower percentage of conversions because they stick. And, you know, we get, just to give you a number, across all of our sales all year, and I'm talking about a few million bucks, we get 1% refunds. And that's mostly customer error, ordering the wrong package from one of our services, or forgetting to unsubscribe from something after they intended to stop or whatever. So 1%. And if you go to some of the common marketplaces or look at credit card industry numbers, I'm sure you'll find it's massively higher than that. And it's because of some pretty scary sales tactics. Now, do you just stick a PayPal button on your site, or do you stick them into a platform of some kind when you want to sell these products?
Well, initially, and if you're just getting started, you could just throw a PayPal button on there. But I'll tell you a quick site that a lot of people don't know about, which is called PaySpree.com. And that's, it uses PayPal, and it uses the what's called the Red Robin technique, which means that if you're paying out 50% commission to your affiliates, then the first sale goes to you, the second sale goes to the affiliate, and then the third goes to you, and so forth. And it's a really easy to use platform. If you want to just have, you know, your button up there in literally like a minute and get paid through PayPal and be able to offer an affiliate program. So I'd use that for a while. And then I actually made my own platform called Simple One Click, which was similar but more robust. Like, it had things like it automatically put you on the AWeber list when you bought. It would deliver the content. It was, you know, secure pages that, you know, if they asked for a refund or whatever, then they went back to that page. You would say you have to log into your Simple One Click account. It wouldn't be there, that kind of thing. So that was a really cool answer. And that only literally takes about a minute to set up your product. It's faster for me to do that than to log into PayPal and get the button.
Yeah, I like that. I think the important point there for new product creators is build a database of people who buy your product. Please build a database. That's where the relationship form from that is going to make you the big profit later, because ultimately, if you've got a front line of products, and even if they're $100 or $200 or $1,000, that's not going to make you a millionaire straight off the bat. It's building up that trust in the long-term customer who's going to spend thousands with you as they continue to consume products or join some kind of coaching or or look to other things that you offer in the higher price point. If you want to run a workshop or a mastermind or something, that's where the money is. So get these products out there, but don't think that your first product for $7 is the ticket to retirement right now. It's a long-term gradual process of building up a database. And you can make really good income from 1,000 customers. I think you can make six figures a year from 1,000 customers of a reasonably small price point if you nurture and look after those people.
Yeah, it's 100% true. It's all about the relationship. I have a coaching student, Carol Amato, and she, I shouldn't say how big her list is, but not that she would mind, but it wasn't very big at all. And she would be competing against guys like Lee McIntyre or Dave Gwinden, and was winning in like affiliate contests, and her list was much smaller. But the difference, and not to say anything negative about those guys, because you know both those guys are great marketers, but because she had a smaller list and she's a very attentive person, she would do what you and I do, which is when somebody would send her an email and say, hey, you know, James, I have a quick question. Can you tell me how to do blank? You would not just say, yeah, buy my product or visit my support desk. You'd say, you know, yeah, you know, a quick step is to do this and then this. If you have any more questions, let me know. And, you know, by having that relationship where people know that you care, man, when you say, you know, listen, I just bought this, it's really good. Or, you know, you may want to check this out. It's a great piece of software. People jump all over it. So yeah, 1,000 people is a lot actually for people that know you, like you, and trust you.
Yeah. I remember when I was selling this cheat sheet, people were getting stuck with the software. I'd literally open up my GoTo meeting account and take over their computer and build their website for them. this was for this, you know, for my $49.25 commission, I would do unbelievable things. That talk about minimum viable product. But the knowledge that I learned doing that helped me solve a lot of problems for people. And also a big shout out to Lee, who I know watches this podcast. So you're a good man. Okay, let's talk about, we really have to wrap up soon because, and by the way, if people are wondering what I use to sell my products, I'm using Nanocast, and that is just very simple to add my products and memberships. It takes all sorts of payments, merchant accounts, PayPal, etc. And it's really good at recurring PayPal billing if you're interested in that. And that's probably the main reason I use that over Office Autopilot. It does have an affiliate module and it integrates with all the autoresponders. So if you've bought anything of mine ever, you've probably already dealt with it. And whilst it suits me, it may not suit everyone else. So do your research, but the most important thing is get this thing out there and up. So let's work on a checklist as our final closing action steps. I think we should just think, putting ourselves in the shoes of a novice, perhaps go back to when you were thinking about that first product, and I'm stepping back into my mind when I wanted to create this cheat sheet, which literally started as 10 lines in an Excel spreadsheet of my personal checklist that I would do when I built a website, like change the hyphenation, you know, for the permalink structure, to change the name of the robots file. There's always 11 things, and I turned that into a 6 or 7 page Word document, and then I iterated and iterated and iterated till it went 135 pages with color snagit illustrations and supporting video tutorials, the works. I mean, it's amazing value. What would be the checklist? We've got the blank canvas. We've probably written up some topic ideas, which we've researched in forums, and we've searched for how to, or what should I, or does anyone know. We've come up with some great topics that people spend money on. We've had a look at the products in the market, read a couple of books. We've listed out the introduction and the why, the what, the how, what if, and a conclusion with action steps. And we've made a note to make a quick start guide. We've gone and got ourselves some screen capture software. We've blocked out an hour or two to sit down and make this. Am I on track? Where are we up to?
Yeah, man. Other than your sales page and your buy button, I think you're done.
So we bang this product out. We clean it up. We do some basic edits. And okay, how do we get it up on the internet?
Okay, well, you know, there's a couple different schools of thoughts with this. What I first used to do is I would just upload the videos to my server and then just have a download link. So if it was mikecowles.com/video17943, .zip or something like that. And you can do that if you want, but if you start getting busy and you don't have a dedicated server, then you're looking at bandwidth issues. So there's a few other options. You could use a Dropbox link. I've seen a lot of marketers do that. Or if your product is, you can use Amazon S3 as well.
Which is effectively Amazon S3. It's an easy-to-use S3 interface.
Yeah, I've found S3 does get to be a little bit pricey depending on people are passing around your links. And I know there's ways to secure it and stuff. But if we're talking to the brand new person that's saying this is my first product, I wouldn't necessarily do S3. What I would probably do is create YouTube videos and put it on a page with a unique link that's not easy to find. And meaning if you have like jamesschramko.com, you could be like 749-22386. And then there's a couple of plugins you can get. One of them is called Robots Meta. And this will make it so that it doesn't get indexed by the search engines. And then there's WP Hide Posts. Those are both free plugins. And that one will make sure it doesn't show up anywhere in your site. So like it won't show up on a page or if you do a search on your site. And so just by having those two, now you can simply put the YouTube video on, you know, your download page and say, here's module 1, module 2, module 3, and just use the embed code. Now, there's ways to make it look more professional. Like you can use, you know, I know James uses Lead Player. I recently heard about VideoMate Pro, which is another great one. It's real similar, but it gives it a nice clean look. And, you know, you can have things like your own thumbnail on there in the beginning instead of the one where you're like mid-sentence and your mouth is halfway open and you're rolling your eyes because it's just Google snapping, you know, whatever they think is a good thumbnail. Instead, you could have like your business logo on all the videos. So it's a nice clean look. And once you do that, you simply put those YouTube videos on there with your player, your page is ready. Then what I always do on all of my thank you pages is I put a recommended resources list. Now, if you're brand new, you don't have a product, you don't have other products to recommend, but you can still recommend other affiliate products or non-affiliate products that are just good tools so that, you know, when people are there, they can check out other offers. You can also do things like, hey, I'm going to be having a webinar on this topic on such and such a date. You can register for it here. That's great, too, to build up your relationship with your list, as well as if you have something related or other tools that you can promote, there's more money in doing that as well.
That is great advice. It's how to put that affiliate revenue on the top of your own product. Of course, you can have an email follow-up sequence, too, that might suggest that the next product or recommended service that would be relevant for people who have consumed that product. Mike, I think this just about rounds us out, but there is one thing I was interested in. Now you've piqued my curiosity. What sort of impressions do you do?
What sort of? Oh, I do a lot of The Simpsons. I do James Earl Jones. You know, a bunch of fun ones like that. Sean Connery.
Well, give us one. Let's hear the magic.
All right.
This is James Earl Jones with CNN.
Nice.
But the kids always want to hear the Darth Vader version of that one. But I don't know. Do you watch The Simpsons, James?
I'm sure everyone's seen The Simpsons episode.
So, Mr. Burns, there's a Homer J. Simpson to see you, sir.
Simpson, eh? Release that.
I'll tell you one of my favorite guys on there is
Mr. Simpson, I'm afraid you've only got 24 hours left to live. Well, actually, 22. Sorry, I kept you waiting.
Right, that's going in front of this podcast for sure. Well, Mike, you've been really generous. So hopefully our listeners inspired. They're ready to create some product. I'd love to see some comments about how this has helped, what sort of products are being created. I'll certainly be there to answer questions, and I'm sure Mike will stop by. And if you'd like to catch up with Mike at his site, head over to mikecowles.com. And you'll be able to see what he's got going on over there, and also put a link in the show notes to the WordPress stuff that Mike mentioned on this episode, and as an example of what he's able to create in 40 minutes, but also he's generously offered you the ability to use that. So thanks so much for coming on, Mike.
It was my privilege. It was a lot of fun, James.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.